Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a recording from New Scientist, 12th of January 2019, and this article is called Life's Dark Ages. So it's reading a number of articles to say, oh, these are low quality. This is actually a very high quality article in terms of the quantity of information or the structuring of information. I've struggled many times to actually communicate this, and it's done it brilliantly. So the title is Life's Dark Ages. For billions of years, life barely left a trace, but ingenious detective work is bringing this lost history to light, finds Michael Marshall. Most accounts of life on Earth begin little more than half a billion years ago, so 500 to 600 million years ago. That is when an evolutionary burst of creativity produced the ancestors of most all animals and plants alive today, which you'd also call funguses in there. Following this Cambrian explosion, that's the period, it's called the Cambrian period, life's story is one of fish, amphibians, insects, land, plants, and the rise and fall of dinosaurs, and ultimately the emergence of humans. It's an epic tale, but it spans just an eighth of life's history, so therefore he's saying it's 4 billion years old. The problem is that although animals and plants have left abundant fossils, pre-Cambrian rocks contain almost no trace of earlier life. This vexed Charles Darwin, who wrote in On the Origin of Species, quote, to the question why we do not find records of the vast primordial periods, comma, I can give no satisfactory answer, end quote. Since then, a few fossilized remains have been found, but these are mostly microscopic blobs reluctant to give up their secrets. Yet in recent years, ingenious researchers have found new ways to lift the lid on life's black box. This is a story of the first 3.5 billion years. Okay, so it's half a billion years is post-Cambrian, pre-Cambrian is 3.5 billion years. It's a tale dominated by single-celled organisms, but it may also be one of cataclysmic change. It encompasses the birth of the continents, the great act of chemical pollution, the greatest act of chemical pollution ever committed, and which is obviously the oxygen production by cyanobacteria, and a freak evolutionary event that may never have happened anywhere else in the universe. It's an epic story, epic journey, so buckle up. So I assume the freak thing is eukaryotic cells and multicellular organisms. Eukaryotic is a fusion between archaic and bacteria. In the beginning was Earth. Well, there you go. But before, it formed some 4.54 billion years ago from rocks and dust, and soon afterwards was smacked in the face by another baby planet, or possibly several small ones. The impact melted the Earth's surface and threw chunks of matter into orbit, forming the Moon, where one vital ingredient of life, Earth's water, came from is a long-running debate. Obviously, if you fry off Earth, where does the water come from? It may have been locked up in the rocks that form the planet, but been brought later by comets, or perhaps it came in interstellar space and is older than the Sun itself. Okay, so the big way you date water is the amount of heavy deuterium in it. So deuterium is basically being built in the Big Bang. We've got our store of that, and anything else that happens tends to vary the deuterium content. And so we can look at distance interstellar blobs which have had not fusion in them, and we can see the deuterium background. Okay, life, exactly when life got started isn't clear. Quote, the oldest uncontroversial evidence we have is the Pilbara Stridley Pools, Stromatolites, says Greg Fornian of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Now, which is really confusing, is they've got they are still up and running. So, you know, how does that work? I don't understand. These preserved mats of microorganisms are 3.5 billion years old. They cannot be the first life, though, because the cells have complex membrane structures that link together into chains. Now, this is a really interesting thing, is that you find out that the cells being turned back have these little hooks which go out, which link them together. They look like a complex, diversified bacteria ecosystem, says Fournier. Claims of older fossils are regularly touted, and the earliest known chemical traces of life appear to date from 4.1 billion years ago. But this evidence is controversial, partly because the Earth is thought to have been battered by meteorites between 4 and 4.8 billion years ago. So, if it's there, it's got another battering, rendering it uninhabitable. So, this is interesting. However, over the past few years, this, quote, late heavy bombardment was reassessed. Simulations suggest, rather than happening in one short sustained blast, large meteorites kept hitting at a low rate until about 3 billion years ago. Okay, so I was trying to think, that's 3 billion years ago. So they've massively increased the rate. These impacts would have caused problems for life, but couldn't have obliterated it. That helps explain why there is little pushback against this August, when a new calculation puts the origin of life firmly before 3.8 billion years ago. David Bassani at the University of Bristol, UK, and his colleagues compiled genetic data from 102 living species and built a family tree showing how they were related. Now, this research is highly problematic because you assume certain rates and mechanisms have remained unchanged. Then they took some firm dates from the fossil records and used these to work out how fast evolution has been happening, allowing them to estimate some key stages of history of life occurred. One of these is the origin of the last universal common ancestor, Luca, L-U-C-A, which they have calculated to live at least 3.9 billion years ago. The very first organisms would have arisen earlier, remarkably near the start of Earth's history, hinting that life may have been easier to get going than once thought. We already have some idea of what Luca was like. Several teams used genetic methods similar to Pisani's to figure out which genes it had and which it evolved later. With the most comprehensive was published in 2016 by William Martin at the University of Düsseldorf, Germany, and his team. They identified 355 genes that Luca probably... Turn the page here. Possessed. These indicate that it lived somewhere hot and used carbon dioxide to make acetate, which served as food. It did not, however, possess the mechanism for making amino acids, some of the building blocks of proteins, so presumably acquired them from the environment. So it's got vitamins, everything it ate was chock full of vitamins, but it had a basic method of eating carbon dioxide and producing acetate. Now, I'm just trying to remember what the chemical acetate is. Acetate is acetic acid. Acetic acid is carbon dioxide fused to methane. Luca, it seems, was a complex organism, but still missing key abilities. Over the next billion years, life diversified. According to Pisani's study, the first big split took place at 4.3 billion years ago. They've got beautiful graphics up here, which just makes it easier to understand. It resulted in two groups of microorganisms, bacteria and archaea. So archaea are the early ones, bacteria are similar ones, but they've got a hard shell. Bacteria have a gram positive and all that type of stuff. Although they took almost all indistinguishable under the microscope, they have a distinct biochemistry. In particular, many archaea have evolved to live under extreme conditions such as high temperatures. They also nourish themselves in unusual ways, including a unique method called methanogenesis. So your methane farts is what comes out when you blow up your fart, that's it. They also nourish themselves, so-called methanogenesis harnesses either carbon dioxide or acetic acid to obtain energy, releasing methane as a waste. The evolution played a key role in the history of the life on Earth. Fournier and his students Joe Wolfe now have worked out when methanogenesis originated, Using this approach similar to Pisani, they calculated that it emerged in some archaea a whopping 3.5 billion years ago or more. So this is why methane produced on the surface of Mars is quite exciting. How do you do that without a life form? Support for this surprisingly early date comes from chemicals in rocks containing, indicating there was methane in the air by then. It fits with some of the global changes that were happening too. Atmospheric models suggest that the Earth would have had liquid water and at the time, but we also know the sun wasn't as bright as it is now, so the sun's slowly clocking up in heat. I think it's 25% hotter now. So the problem is that you can have natural sources of methane, but methane gets broken up by ultraviolet light, so you've got to always produce a lot. You've got to have a source of producing it. But methane, a powerful greenhouse gas, would have lent a hand. So it looks like archaea were the first organisms to affect Earth's climate. And by keeping the planet warm, they propped up the rest of the primordial ecosystems too. Methanogenesis was revolutionary, but it is an inefficient form of nutrition. Research published in April reveals how life evolved progressively better ways to feed itself. First, it relied on chemical reactions that yielded little energy, including methanogenesis. Later, some archaea evolved the ability to use sulfur. These are sulfurous farts, okay. Sulfur, including, which is a better source of energy. Then others began to use something even more effective, oxygen. But that was only possible once there was oxygen in the air. So where did it come from? For the first 2 billion years of Earth's history, there's no free oxygen. So that's 2.5 billion years ago. Instead, it was locked up in the minerals and other chemicals because it readily reacts with different elements. Oh dear, it's a bit poor way of saying it. All that changed 2.4 billion years ago with the Great Oxygenation Event. This is the Devonian deposits in Rochester. The driving force is the rise of cyanobacteria, which harness the energy for sunlight. In fact, other bacteria had evolved the capacity for photosynthesis starting about 35 billion years ago. But cyanobacteria were the first to use the sun's energy to fuse carbon dioxide and water into sugar, releasing oxygen as waste. In doing so, they became the second organism to have a global impact. So there was photosynthesis, but not as we know it. Not of the story. Okay. And this is rather interesting. They've got really good graphics here. The air now held oxygen. Levels were far lower than they were today and stayed low for more than a billion years. So that would actually bring us up to 1.5 billion years ago. 2.5 to 1.5. Nevertheless, oxygen helped trigger the most dramatic events in Earth history. An ice age so severe that almost all of the planet froze over. So that's the first snowball Earth. Well, that's a huge time. It's a billion years of... How many years have we got up here? They've got from 2.4 to 1.5. This is frozen over Earth, so it must have been... There must be something. If it's frozen ice, it will switch itself off. So that's me reading. And lasted until 2.1 billion years ago. Atmospheric oxygen played a part in acting with the methane produced by methanogenesis, reducing the chemical's greenhouse effect. Okay, well that is a big story, because there's still a huge amount of carbon dioxide out there. But methane. Okay. The second cause was the emergence of the first large continents, a short history of rocks on page 32. Okay, so if you've got big continents over here, they say, being paler than the sea, then reflected more of the sun's heat back to space. Finally, chemical reactions associated with weathering of the newly formed mountain ranges removed other greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, from the air, which is really interesting. So it's the supercontinents coming in, removing greenhouse gases and the oxygen. We tend to think of oxygen as being essential for life, but in the beginning it was a deadly form of pollution. Its accumulation in the air probably caused the first mass extinction. Today, oxygen is toxic to anaerobes, organisms that live in oxygen-free places. So, presumably lethal to many ancient microbes, says Fournier. The ice in Stonewall Earth would also have destroyed many habitats. However, the microbial fossils records is too sparse to show this. Quote, there is no way to empirically detect the microbial mass extinction, he says. Not so boring brilliant billion. Following the chill upheaval came a period of calm, or so we thought. Conventional wisdom is that the climate's stable and oxygen levels low, the pollution is stalled. Last history was considered so dull that the period between 1.8 and 8 million years ago has been dubbed the boring billion. In fact, it was nothing of the sort. This is when life made the two biggest advances. And, according to new recent research, these evolutionary innovations may have been the result of organisms rising to the challenge of coping with limited nutrients. Whatever the reason, the first big leap was the emergence of a new kind of organism, the eukaryote, which is us. It's a mix, it's a hybrid between bacteria and archaea. So archaea is the big soft ones, and they've got the little bacteria inside them. Pisani studies estimate this happened at 1.8 to 1.2 billion years ago. Well, that's incredible. That's a huge time. That's half a billion years. Yeah, I think you can go deep in the boring billion. Eukaryotic cells are larger and more intricate than anything that came before. They have a complex internal membranes. Their DNA is stored in a chamber called the nucleus. And they contain tiny sausage-shaped objects called mitochondria that supply them with energy, i.e. the energy is using a phosphate cycle, and that's done by feeding the mitochondria sugar. Only eukaryotic cells can form complex multicellular organisms like plants, insects, and humans. Bacterial and archaeal cells cannot link up in such fiddly ways it's the membranes have hooks on it, although bacteria can form mats. So the origin of eukaryotes is one of the most important events in the history of life. Eukaryotes arose not through competition, which drives much of evolution, but by cooperation. Well, competitive cooperation. At some point, the archaean must have swallowed a bacterium, and the two organisms managed to live as one, with the bacterium becoming the first mitochondrion. So you have two reproducing, your archaea cells reproduce the nucleus, and your mitochondria reproduce, it's sort of parallel reproduction. Quite how this happened is still debated. We may know more soon after studying a recently discovered group of organisms called the Asgard archaea, which is the closest simple-celled relative to eukaryotes. However, creation of this complex life seems... It's got some beautiful pictures here of this early Dicksonia to have occurred only once, suggesting it was a freak event. If so, it has cosmic implications. It means that although other planets could be home to simple cells, they might thrive for eons without complex life ever arising. With evolution of eukaryotes, life on Earth would have taken another big leap and become multicellular. So when did that happen? Until the 1950s, the oldest known multicellular organisms were the Cambrian period, which started 5.4 billion years ago. There you go. So 5.4... Just 40 million years, things are crawling out of the swamp. Then some English school children discovered a fossil, which is the first recognized as Eudacarian, a weird multicellular organism that lived between 635 million years, so that's 100 million years earlier, and 50 542 million years ago. The nature of this group has long been a mystery. A new study suggests that at least one of them, called the Dickinsonia, was an animal. The earliest known, at half a billion years old, Icardians weren't, however, the first multicellular organisms. In 2016, a team led by Xing Zhu of China's Geological Survey described irregular and tongue-shaped blobs that were 30 centimeters in length. They looked like primitive seaweed and were found in the Chinese rocks dated at 1.56 billion years old. Fragments are served, so this is interesting, so 5.6 billion years. That actually doesn't fit in with the actual timeline. The fragments were preserved as silica. Let me check it. Oh, well, they put it in there before Snowball Earth. Oh, well. Okay. On the diagram. This year, a follow-up study found that until 1.57 billion years ago, the oceans whose organisms lived were in low oxygen. Then the levels rose, suggesting an extra oxygen enabled them to grow larger and more complex. People used to wonder why multicellular organisms took so long to evolve. Now we have a new puzzle. What took them billions of years to develop into complex forms of Icardians? That's Ediacarans. Perhaps oxygen levels had to rise still further, or perhaps evolution was slowed in its tracks by a second Snowball Earth period that occurred 720 to 635 million years ago. However, the microfossils records show little evidence of species being wiped out at that time. Indeed, it has been argued that some organisms thrived on Earth's icy surface. So, mysteries still remain. Life's dark ages have yet to be fully illuminated, but we know far more than we did just a few years ago. And it's clear that life, as we know it today, would not exist without all the innovations that happened in the first 3.5 billion years of evolution. So that's really good. So it's got the main points. The thing that I learned for the first time, it's just that when the oxygen was reduced, it wasn't that it removed all the carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. It began to remove the methane and the continent building, exposed rock, which removed the greenhouse gases away from us. Okay, this is a BICE story. A short history of rocks. Today's Earth's surface is shaped by plate tectonics. The crust is divided into about a dozen plates which slowly shift about. The movement of plates collisions result in earthquakes and volcanoes and form mountain ranges. Occasionally, one plate gets forced under its neighbor and is destroyed, a process called subduction. But plate tectonics couldn't have occurred when Earth was born because the interior was too hot. So when did it begin? The key line of evidence lies in what are known as felsic rocks, such as granite. They only form when there is water and heat, which is a sure sign that subduction has occurred. That's interesting. There are a few felsic rocks older than 3 billion years old, which is when Earth's interior would have been cool enough to support tectonic and global scale. However, in 2017, Ilya Binman of the University of Oregon and his colleagues identified felsic rocks dating from 3.5 billion years ago. They think this may signify the first brief birth of tectonic activity that caused by large meteorites that were hitting the planet around that time. Binman also has evidence of when the first continents rose above the waves. His team examined shale rocks for signs of weathering caused by rivers, which will reveal the existence of land. We're able to see that starting from 2.5 billion years ago, we have a hydrologic cycle, and weathering conditions on Earth are very similar to modern ones, he says. This suggests the continents have emerged for the first time. They then began to slow down. It's called the supercontinent cycle. Every few hundred million years, the continents all collide to form one gigantic landmass. Columbia was probably the first proper supercontinent, existing from about 1.2 to 1.5 billion years ago. Rhonda followed from about 1.3 to 750 years ago, and the last was Pangaea, which existed during the dinosaur era, which is only, 250 to 64 billion years ago. So that's a very interesting story. You can see all those facts get into your head. You read some stories, some out-of-date articles, and you get the information goes in wrong. But just in summary, the Earth formed 4.5 billion years ago. There's a late meteorite impact over the first, from 4 billion to 3 billion years ago. Tectonic activities begins globally at 3 billion years ago. Then 2.5 to 1.5 a billion years, the snowball Earth, due to methane production reduction, and also due to the supercontinent. Then there's a heating period and a second snowball Earth at the start of 720 to 635 million years ago, and that's when animals take off, and the Cambrian explosion is 541 million years ago. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll see how this has gone.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.